And good evening, and welcome to another evening of Cosmic Radio here on the BBS. We have a great show in store for you this evening. I want to mention a shout-out to a friend, Lauren, who presented an article to me, and with her diligence and perseverance in getting the word out, we have two wonderful guests with us this evening. We're going to discuss a species tonight that is on the very brink of annihilation. Due to greed, special interest groups, and a basic misconception, this is a species that basically shapes the environment that we live in. I'm talking about the wolves, the beautiful wolves. I am sick of seeing these creatures make a comeback only to be hunted for sport and greed. I'm joined this evening by two very special guests who fight effortlessly for their plight. In a few seconds, I'm going to have, we're trying to get her on air, our friend Kathy Taibbi, who is a former zookeeper, journalist, writer. She's a columnist for the San Francisco Examiner. She recently wrote an article entitled, and I'm going to spell it because it's out of my comfort zone saying this word. She recently wrote an article entitled, Wolves Are the N-I-G-G-E-R-S's of the Wild. Now, Facebook will not let me repost this article. Facebook took this article down. Now, she is in no way a racist. She used this as a metaphor, basically taking a cue from the John Lennon song entitled Woman is the End of the World. I even presented this article to my African-American family, and in their own words, they said, this is an appropriate word for the issue at hand. So I want to focus on the issue at hand this evening. My other guest this evening is Robert Goldman. He is the founder of Protect America's Wolves. There's a petition campaign through Sign On. You can go to my Facebook pages. I've plastered this on all of my pages. This petition is growing with over 15,000 signing from around the world and the U.S. Hopefully by the end of tonight, we will have more people globally signing this petition. Now, he has also worked at Yellowstone National Park, and he's also been with Greenpeace in protecting and saving the whales. Robert now devotes his time to save the wolves, and in his own words, has always had a deep affection and respect for the wolves and the canine family. He also wrote an incredible article called Cowards versus Heroes, Protect America's Wolves. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my friends Kathy and Robert, good evening, folks. Can you hear me? Robert?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Good evening. Kathy,
thank you, Linda.
Thank you for being here. Kathy, are you with us too?
Yes, I am.
All right. I apologize for the tech problems this evening. It's my fault. both your articles are very... First, let me start with Kathy. When I read your article, it brought tears to my eyes. I laughed and I cried, but I cried more than I laughed. It's a beautiful article. I'm really disheartened that it got pulled from Facebook, especially when you can go into Facebook and look up things like how to cook things with wolf body parts and these disgusting things. And for your article to get pulled is just criminal, in my opinion.
Thank you. Yeah, with the pictures and everything they have on there.
And Robert, your article, Cowards versus Heroes, I loved it because you really called them out. You called out the heavy hitters in this situation on what they're doing, and that's why we're here tonight, to bring awareness to our listeners on what really is going on with our wolf population. And there's these misconceptions about wolves, and I know through time, you know, when we were little kids, there's nursery rhymes about wolves, you know, who's afraid of the big bad wolf, and, you know, the three little pigs and the big bad wolf, and Little Red Riding Hood and the big bad wolf. But in reality, big bad wolves are not what they perceive to be. They're very human-like, and in my understanding, we could learn from them on how to be more human-like. Is that my understanding?
And monogamous
absolutely.
People.
Yeah.
Whoever would like to
Linda
go first, fine.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kathy.
You know, wolves are actually very shy people. They don't want to come near you, except in Yellowstone, they've gotten used to seeing visitors. But for the most part, if you're out there, you don't even see a wolf, and they try to stay away from people. But their pack structure is like a family. It is a family. It's an extended family, and everybody takes care of the alpha pair's pups, and they're loyal to each other, and they frankly put a lot of human families to shame.
That's what I'm reading. In fact, I was researching something, and when they're trapped in cages, when they cower when they see humans come near the cages that they've been trapped in. It's very heartbreaking. I have to tell you, Kathy, after our first phone conversation, I probably cried my eyes out well over an hour at all the information you were sending me and all these graphic pictures. I don't think people are aware of what is really going on. So that's why I wanted you guys on tonight, to bring awareness to our listeners on the things that are happening. Robert, did you want to interject anything here?
Yeah, I do want to put out something that we of today aren't aware of. You know, we think that wolves should be living in the wilderness because most of us don't live in the wilderness, so we think the wildlife should be living in the wild, and that's, of course, true. But the truth is that before wolves were unjustly demonized and persecuted, when they actually lived among native peoples, they lived close to people. And it is possible for wolves and people to live near each other. The danger comes not from wolves hurting people, but from people hurting wolves. And if people would drop this, the thing that modern people have developed, the mythology and the demonization, which is really a reflection of what we feel in the dark side of humans, if we would drop that and let wolves be what they actually are, we'd find that we could live a lot closer to them than we now currently think we can, because they're not ravenous killers of humans. They're wildlife that lives in harmony with their prey species and is very important, but they actually, in fact, could and have lived near human beings. It's just that today we don't allow that, and they can't today because people would hurt them and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's more bear attacks than there are wolf attacks. In fact, my one of my kids pointed out that in the last 100 years, there's only been 2 fatal attacks on wolves, and those are wolves that are sick and not well. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, and that's even questionable, Linda. Truthfully,
okay.
There was an attack up in Alaska recently, like in the past couple of years. But that's questionable, and I would question, with the kind of demonization that goes on in Alaska towards wolves, there's actually speculation that woman was murdered. She was jogging with an iPod, and they actually couldn't determine what killed her. So, you know, the truth is that hunters get killed by deer. You know, they get kicked, and there's amazing other things that kill people, including each other.
Oh, and moose can be very dangerous.
Can't say.
Exactly.
Moose kill many people
moose,
in Alaska.
Yes, I've heard about the moose. They're very, they come from
them
very
them,
aggressive.
But,
they're beautiful, yeah. But I would steer clear of one of them running down the street.
Right.
Wow. I did want to ask you, it was my understanding that there are 3 animal welfare groups that are suing in 3 different states, the Humane Society, Born Free USA, Help Our Wolves Live, are just a few of them. And until recently, Kathy, you brought to my attention about the Center for Biological Diversity and their lawsuit. Could you explain a little bit on what happened with that?
Oh, I need to do more research on what happened, but what usually happens is the agricultural lobby, they want to open up a lot of land for mining and exploitation and for what they call, welfare ranching, which is grazing cattle on public lands,
okay.
Which is putting cattle and an introduced species out there in the wild area, and they also change the habitat to be beneficial for cattle. And I think a lot of it is that the Cattlemen's Association is so strong that they're just blocking all this through political means, just because it's about, they want the free grazing and not have to worry about any kind of predation. And the bad thing is that they're making it sound like, well, is there an issue with harming livestock? And it's, what is it, Bob? It's like 0.0002-something percent of all
the
causes.
Statistics. Thank you for bringing that up, Kathy. The statistics are like amazing. And by the way, the statistics come from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which Ken Salazar is the Department of Interior Secretary currently. He oversees the Fish and Wildlife Service. These numbers are acknowledged to be the confirmed authoritative depredation numbers. I'll give you cold, hard facts that everybody can understand, and we can use a few states. Wyoming, there's 1.3 million non-native cattle. Cattle are not native to this country. They were brought over from England. 1.3 million cattle. In all of 2011, only 35 of those cattle were taken by wolves. That's a confirmed number. 35. If you do the math, you take out a calculator, you're going to find that that's as close to zero as you can get. The numbers in Montana, with this 2.5 million head of cattle, only 74 were depredated by wolves. These are confirmed. The other thing that your listeners have to know, Linda, is every single year, in every one of these states that has millions of cattle, almost 100,000 of them, tens of thousands of them, in the high tens, like 80, 90,000, are killed due to birth complications. They die due to birth complications, eating poison plants, weather, so disease. And in actuality, in fact, depredation by predators is minimal. And by the way, with all the other causes of mortality, ranchers do not get paid one single penny. And, you know, let's say the number is 80,000 a year die in Montana cattle. And don't forget, I said only 74 were taken by wolves. Those ranchers do not get one penny when a cattle dies from causes like weather, birth complications. And by the way, for the few that are taken by grizzly bears or mountain lions, the ranchers get nothing, and those animals take more cattle than wolves do. Only with the wolf have they been singled out, so that the ranchers have a mentality going back now 200 years in this country where they do not tolerate a minuscule and almost zero number of depredations by wolves, even though it's almost zero. So the injustice of that knowledge, and the fact that the rest of the country, which doesn't follow these things the way folks like Kathy and I do, the fact that the rest of the country is thinking, oh, yeah, those darn wolves bothering all those cattle, it's mythology. It's criminal mythology. It results in entire wolf families, wolf packs, being wiped out because of hatred and an unbelievable exaggeration of the cattle industry and the sport killers that want another animal to kill.
Oh, they're having a field day right now.
It brings me to that point. You know, they've been on the Endangered Species Act, but because of corruption with federal officials, they find these animals unworthy of protection due to, like you just said, Robert, mythology, lies, and dirty politics, which actually brings me to another issue, and I'm noticing a few of these states are right in the path of the Keystone Pipeline. I have a feeling that has a lot to do with it, too. Could I be wrong here?
I don't know if it has a lot to do with it. I know Kathy is of the belief that the energy companies are definitely have a hand in wanting endangered animals that are inconvenient in their mind.
Yeah.
Off the land, and I definitely think that's a point. I don't know if it's specifically because of that darn pipeline. What worries me more, Linda, about that pipeline is, you know, people talk about the Keystone Pipeline, but you have to know where it's coming from. It's coming from the Alberta tar sands in Alberta. This virgin forest land that's home to wolves and caribou. And this, so it's not only, this is not an issue that's affecting the United States only. It actually originates in Canada, where the Canadians have their own deep, dark, hateful traditions of demonizing wolves. And they're using the wolf as a scapegoat for what's happening with caribou in the area of where these tar sands are being mined. This is a very, very destructive mining process. It's like open pit mining. If the tar sands project is fully built out, it's going to destroy an area of Alberta the size of Florida. Mm-hmm. And animals like caribou are very sensitive to any disturbance. So what the Canadians are doing is they're saying, oh, my, we're already seeing a decrease in caribou. It's because of what the Canadian energy companies are doing at the tar sands, from which this pipeline emerges, by the way. So what are the Canadians doing? They're saying we have to kill lots and lots and lots of wolves because we're decimating caribou habitat. So, you know, we focus on our own country, but, you know, the North American continent is, maybe we should be looking at the continent as a whole, and the pipeline is like the exhaust pipe out of a huge car, and the car is the tar sands project. And wolves are being killed because of that project as well.
And it sounds,
it's pretty
to me
disgusting.
Too, it's the caribou population's in jeopardy too now.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, they're trying to. They're using that as a cover. Like, oh, it's not us. It's the wolves. Even though it's all what they're doing is just degrading the habitat.
Oh, the greed of man! I swear, sometimes it makes me ashamed to be human. But
you know, Linda, if it was just a matter of greed, which is sickening enough, when greed is oversized, like anything that's oversized, when it's not reasonable, you know, everybody wants to make a living. But it's not just the greed part, as sickening as that is. It's the demonization and hatred part. It's an unconscionable thing because it's 2013. This is not the Middle Ages. To tell the rest of us that we're a bunch of Bambi lovers and tree huggers because we are so outraged that this animal that has its place in our ecology throughout North America, and we know now, I just gave you the statistics from the government's own bureaus about depredation, that's a bogus lie. And the elk business, you know, that they're decimating the elk, that's a bunch of baloney. The statistics are equally supportive of the fact that where there's wolves, there's actually more elk. Now, that doesn't mean in every valley, but overall, like in a state like Montana, before the wolves returned, and actually they returned on their own, starting in the 70s, they were returning on their own. The government only reintroduced, you know, literally 66 wolves, but more than that was already returning on their own 20 years earlier than this government introduction. At the time of the reintroduction, though, to use that as a starting point, there were 90,000 elk in Montana. And this comes from the Montana Department of Fish and Wildlife. So this isn't some environmental radicals making these numbers up. It comes from their own state. With wolves on the landscape for the past 20 years in Montana, there's now 140,000 elk. That's what the state Fish and Wildlife Department in Montana, which is killing its own wolves, what they've reported. So there's 50,000 more elk in Montana since the wolves have returned. So when you peel back this whole thing, it's not to put it on greed. That's part of it. It's really putting it on hatred, the dark side of people. You know, the really sad thing about this, I look at these demonizers, these people who persecute innocents, and in this case, innocent wolves. They're kind of like George Wallace in Alabama in the early 60s, when the country, 100 years after the Civil War, was really ready to move forward. and to live in this country in a better way and be more welcoming to all the people who lived here, no matter what your religion or your race or anything. If these ranchers and sport killers, and that includes the NRA, the NRA is always lurking in the background whenever killing is involved with guns and ammunition. So the NRA is lurking behind this wolf demonization. They're not letting it go. If not for this small, hateful minority, cattlemen, sport killers, the industry, the gun industry represented by the NRA, they're George Wallace standing in the doorway preventing progress, because the rest of us have been learning for decades now about nature and ecology, and it's not from Bambi. We're learning from school. We're learning from public television nature programs, from Discovery Channel, from BBC Planet Earth, all these wonderful things that have educated everybody. The country has been ready to move forward and to live in this country in a better way, but there's a real powerful, hateful small group supported by federal wildlife agencies and state wildlife agencies that has not allowed the will of the people to be expressed on this. And that's sickening, too.
Because they're getting tremendous public outpourings of outrage, and they're ignoring hundreds of thousands of people crying out against the slaughter.
Now, my understanding from Robert's article, the far-right movement actually went mainstream in Republican parties in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. As this
right.
movement gained momentum, the Democratic leaders also began to advocate for the removal of these wolves for federal protection.
They are capitulating. They're selling out.
I'm going to call out names here from your article, Robert. Montana
right.
Senator John Tester. He's
right.
a Democrat facing re-election. Congressman Danny Reinberg. There's a few more here. I'm going to give you names of good guys, too, in a little bit. Those are two names in your article, and I go to the next page, and we come up with, let's see here, Bullock. Now, put him as a lunatic.
Governor Bullock is a bad guy.
Yes.
He's the new governor of Montana, and in spite of the fact that he just came into office about a month ago, and he was neutral, supposedly, he gave wolf defenders in Montana some hope because he wasn't talking like a wolf hater, but he basically deceived them. And you know, there's people on our side that know him personally, and there's including wildlife biologists who know him and that are very intelligent on the wolf issue that feel completely betrayed. Governor Steve Bullock is completely a traitor. We'll see if he sticks to that, but he started out horribly. But you know, Linda, it's really easy to know who the bad guys are. It's
right.
There's so few good guys on the federal level. As you pointed out, the Democrats, after this wolf hatred in the 90s, moved from a fringe group of radical, conspiratorial people, the survivalist kind of fringe. It did eventually move into the mainstream Republicans in these Rocky Mountain states, and then the Democrats capitulated when it became clear that, you know, the Democrats feared that they would lose the Senate by one seat, so they were kissing up to, in Montana, the Tester election against Rayburg. Rayburg was like a Nazi fanatic, even, you know, worse than Tester on wolves, if that's possible. But all the Democrats, Linda, all of them, except for a few, literally, by less than one handful, voted for this rider that removed wolves from the endangered species list, not for ecological reasons, but for political reasons.
And
so
Obama signed it, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He is
Obama
a traitor.
Signed
mm-hmm. The good names that you'd expect, like Senator John Kerry, who's an environment guy or was in Massachusetts, he's now a Secretary of State,
yes.
Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, all these good Democrats, Al Franken, he's a wolf demonizer. He happens to be a Democrat from Minnesota, but he was helping lead the charge in Minnesota against wolves. He wrote ridiculous things about wolves that were
Al
like
Franken?
Fairy tales.
Al Franken wrote
Al Franken.
Wow.
So I want you and your listeners to know that the Democrats capitulated in such a complete and total way that if people out there in Radio Land who are listening, if they think this is purely a Republican thing, they're wrong. The Democrats
right.
capitulated almost in full. And it's the most cowardly betrayal of the American people that I've seen in my lifetime, that this poor animal that has been persecuted from the first moment just about that the Europeans stepped into this continent, invaded this continent, started to, within months, within a few short years of being helped by the Native American people to literally survive, they turned around and started persecuting the Native peoples and the wolves probably on the same day. And they haven't stopped for over 300 years. So for the Democrats to capitulate, of all, they were the party of decency. But what does that say about the corporate corruption of even the Democratic Party? That
well,
they can't stand for ethical protection of animals that have been persecuted for hundreds of years in this country unjustly.
Well, my listeners always know I have this saying, and I say that both the Democrats and the Republicans are just a two-headed, one-party system, and they always will be. That's just my expression of them. It doesn't matter what side they're on. They're obviously on the side that lines their pocket and not on the side of, obviously, these poor creatures or the environment, for that matter. It's a travesty. Now, I do want to bring out, though, there are three representatives who fight for the plight of these beautiful creatures, and I'm going to name them from these from your article, Robert. Is Peter DeFazio of Oregon, U.S.
Right.
Representative Ed Markey of Massachusetts, and Representative Raul Grajava of New Mexico. These three are leading the way to help support America's wolves that are still under federal protection, is my understanding, in some states.
Yes, Linda, excellent. Thank you for bringing that up. These three guys, what they're doing is they're currently right now, and this is where your listeners can get involved, they're right now circulating a letter in the House of Representatives. They're all congressmen. They're not senators. They're circulating a letter in the House of Representatives, and they're asking representatives around the country, so wherever your listeners are right now, if they can call or email their U.S. representative and ask them to sign on to the DeFazio, Markey, Grijalva letter to keep those states where wolves still have federal protections, and it's the states other than Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, all the other states, they still have federal protections. And the way to keep wolves safe and protected is to not let them lose those protections in those states, the other 45 states. Well, 44, because there's no wolves in Hawaii. But in those other states, please call your representative on Monday or this coming week, call or email them, and ask them to sign on, or demand that your representative sign on to this letter. So, because it's going to go to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, one of the gifts that Ken Salazar, Cowboy Ken, and I'm saying this facetiously because he's probably the number one wolf-hating devil in the U.S. government, Ken Salazar, who thankfully will be leaving the Interior Secretary position. He was creepily appointed to by our President Obama. So this letter will be addressed to his U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Salazar would like to, on his way out the door, throw yet another gift to his rancher buddies. Salazar's a rancher from Colorado. And, you know, remove wolves from federal protections in the remaining states. I live in Maine, Linda. We may have a few wolves here. We have mainly what's called eastern coyotes, which is they're hybridized coyote wolves. They're quite large, actually. Even in a state like mine where officially there's not a wolf, they'd be delisted. Now, does that make sense? Why would we have an Endangered Species Act with a list to go with it if we're going to remove animals even where they don't exist but where they could exist if people would just stop killing them as they return? Periodically, even in a state like Massachusetts, which has quite rural areas, by the way, there's wolves that return, but these redneck yahoos end up shooting them. Every couple of years you read about a big dog that was shot, and they always say the same thing. They said thought it was a coyote, and they're hardly ever punished. And if people would stop killing animals, stop killing the wolves that do return from the Midwest or from Canada, we could have wolves back throughout their former range. But it's the people that are killing them and getting away with it.
I think more has to be done to educate society on this matter, too, you know, because people hear in mainstream media certain issues about the wolves or even the coyotes, is my understanding, are on the brink, too, of becoming far and few between. I think
Linda, that's not true. There's so many coyotes, and I don't want them to be killed either. It's counterproductive. But the coyotes are numerous everywhere.
There's abundance of them.
The ridiculous thing about killing coyotes is that if you wipe out a bunch of them, they come back in greater numbers. There's no way of... One way to reduce the coyote population, and I love coyotes, as far as I'm concerned, we have tens of thousands of them in Maine, and I love them. I've seen them when I've been bicycle riding. One way to reduce the population of coyotes is to bring wolves back, to let wolves come back, because where there's wolves, there's fewer coyotes, because wolves and coyotes don't quite get along. Wolves don't like to share their habitat too closely with coyotes, so... One of the things that happened when wolves returned to Yellowstone is the coyotes, which still live there and they're fairly numerous, they became less in number because the wolves were there. And, you know, right now the coyotes function as wolves in the states where wolves used to be. So the coyotes have filled the niche of the wolf as kind of like the top canine carnivore. But as soon as wolves would come back, the wolves would regain their top dog status just like they did in Yellowstone.
It's like the circle of life, and when we interfere with the balance of nature, bad things happen. You know what I mean? When man interjects his hatred, it always affects the balance of nature. Like you said, if we had more wolves, there would be a better handle on the coyote population. It's the circle
exactly.
of life. Well, what... can people do besides contacting their congressmen and representatives and senators? Is there more people can do? Is there a website we can direct them to? I've posted it all over my Facebook page, but there are people that are listening to us that are not in the United States, and I want them to be able to interject and be a part of this as well.
Kathy, do you want to go first, and then I'll compliment what you're doing?
There are numerous Facebook pages. One of the ones that seems to be a clearinghouse for all the different groups, because anything that is relevant to wolves ends up getting posted on it. It's called Good Wolf, and that might be a good place just to get a broad overview of everything current that's coming by, and also history and biology of the wolf and what the animals really like, and videos of wolves, and just ways that people can get familiar with the real animal, because, Robert, isn't there a billboard campaign that's saying we're not demons, we're not saints, we're just wolves?
There's a number of groups that are actually going to be doing billboards. I wanted to share from my perspective, Kathy is oriented towards Good Wolf. What I have found for me personally, and I know that Good Wolf has great stuff and has a following, that another one that's very authoritative, it's a blog and a Facebook page and a website. It's called Howling for Justice.
Yes, that's excellent.
Howling for Justice. And if people Google Howling for Justice blog, B-L-O-G, you'll find that an incredible up-to-date information about wolves. And it's also beautiful. Nebeki, the woman from Montana who runs it, is a real expert on wolves. She's been a wolf advocate for about longer than anybody I know. She posts a lot of very inspirational stuff, very positive stuff often, because, you know, when you're talking about wolves, they're beautiful animals, and, you know, there's a lot to celebrate about them. It's not all bad news. The wolves when people learn about them for what they actually are in reality, they're just a beautiful, beautiful animal. You learn, like Kathy was saying at the beginning, that their family structure, if only human families were as loving and devoted as wolf families are to their pack, we would have very few problems in this world, because wolves are the ultimate family. The loyalty they have, if the parents of one pack are killed or they, you know, they're taken out of their ecology, the puppies of that pack will be adopted by nearby alpha male and female.
Aww.
And treated lovingly as if they're family members, because indeed they become family members. So Howling for Justice, people can visit my petition, Protect America's Wolves. If you Google my name, Robert Goldman, Protect America's Wolves, you'll see my petition. I love a group called Predator Defense. Predator Defense is in Oregon, and they produced an unbelievable video called The Imperiled American Wolf. If you go to predatordefense.org, it's up there highlighted. And it was so well produced that Jane Velez Mitchell, who's has a show on Headline News, which used to be CNN Headline News, she featured this video nationally about a month ago. So for the very first time, wolves got national attention with this very disturbing video about what's happening to them. What we're hoping, Linda, is that, and I did want to point out, do you notice that I didn't say it came from Defenders of Wildlife? It didn't come from Natural Resources Defense Council. It didn't come from Earth Justice. It came from a small group that most people haven't heard of, because, unfortunately, folks, the big groups like Defenders of Wildlife really has let the wolf down in a major way. Unfortunately, in saying that, I want people to know that the Humane Society, which is also a large animal rights group, is now come forward and is doing a fantastic job doing what these other groups like Defenders should have done all along. But Defenders got so big that I think they got corrupted the way politicians can get corrupted. They became a fundraising organization more than an organization that was able to stand up to effectively defend and protect wolves. So it's the smaller groups like Good Wolf, like Predator Defense, like Howling for Justice, like another group called Wild Earth Guardians, the Center for Biological Diversity, like you mentioned earlier, Linda and Kathy. These groups are doing the best work, and, you know, stay tuned for some good announcement to come, because I'm working with some folks, and we're putting together right now a very exciting Wolf Defender effort that's going to include pretty much a world-famous environmental organization. I can't share that yet. It's going to be out in about a month.
Oh, wow.
And we hope
I'm excited
to have celebrities.
Now.
Say again, Linda?
I'm very excited now. This is great news.
Well, yeah, and I haven't really shared that. I don't even know if I shared that with Kathy yet, because Kathy and I just hooked up with each other a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, it's going to be exciting, and what this group is going to bring to the Wolf Defender effort is something that Kathy knows we need, good wolf defenders. The wolves need national media attention. This has been completely lacking. In bringing in this group, which has respect around the world as an environmental group that gets things done and doesn't compromise, and also has access to celebrities that are known around the world. So what's going to happen soon is we're going to have familiar faces that people admire around the world getting out front through PSAs, public service announcements, billboards, and people are going to hear about this. right now the wolf haters and the demonizers and the state wildlife agencies that serve them have been getting away with murder of wolves, and it's been flying under the national media radar screen. And the wolf haters know that. They've used it like the cover of darkness. And we're going to be peeling away, and part this interview hopefully is part of that, is peeling away the killing that's going on in darkness, not being reported, facts not being reported, going unchallenged, you know, people being left maybe to hear a little bit of an echo about it in a little news article instead of really having it in your face, seeing what's going on, seeing some of the torture that the perverts are doing. One of the things that I like to do, Linda, is, you know, I don't want to be using profane words, but
you,
I want these
you
people...
You can if you like. We are a, we are not censored, so you can use any words you choose.
No. But, you know, I like, as you read in that piece that you, Cowards versus Heroes, you know, I want these people who are out there doing, basically committing animal abuse, because when you kill an animal that belongs in nature, that is actually a positive force in every ecosystem, where it keeps the wildlife that it lives with healthy and strong, and we're finding that all the top predators, whether it's sharks in the ocean or eagles in the air or wolves on the land or grizzly bears or mountain lions, these animals are so important that to remove them from the ecology damages the ecology. It cascades and sets off a cycle that's destructive to birds and trees, and it's a horrible thing to do, and I want it to be labeled what it is, and that's criminal animal abuse. I want the people to do it to be labeled the ignorant morons that they are. So the words that I like and I want these people to be stuck on them is perverts and morons and criminal animal abusers, because that's what they are. They're not hunters. They've perverted what hunting used to be or should have been, and maybe it never was in the modern era. You know, people have worshipped the idea of the hunter. But, you know, in America, there's been so much massacre and killing. I don't know. I used to support even subsistence hunting, and I guess I still do, because I want people to be able to eat and feed their families.
Right.
That's a good thing. But because the hunting community has been so unable or unwilling to rein in the morons and the perverts that they have in their ranks, that they can't go along with respecting ecology, that killing has to come first, and it's all about killing in the pleasure of the hunter to kill. That's not what hunting should be about. You know, when the natives were doing it here without us bothering them, without the Europeans, they had a level of respect that Europeans seem to have never had and certainly did not bring over this continent. So the hunting that goes on here is almost a sick kind of hunting among too many of these people.
I agree. I know in my own family who are part Native, when you hunt something, you say a prayer as a blessing, and you thank Creator for the food that you're about to partake in, because Natives, when they hunt because they're hungry. Then they use every bit of the carcass of that animal, from the skin to the flesh to the bone. But it's not for the sheer pleasure of killing, like what has happened here with Europeans coming over here. It's a very sick concept. It just shows, like Kathy states in her article about, it's a symptom of a sickness in our society, and it's pathetic. It's heartbreaking, and I hope more people become awake and aware of this issue.
Robert,
well,
what's the name of
this? They have to, because this isn't just about wolves. You know, I wrote an article a few years ago. It's called Getting It Right for Wolves, for the Earth. And, you know, my focus is on wolves. I've been doing this for years. This is also very much a people issue. And
absolutely,
it really bothers me, Linda, very much that politicians ignore animal issues at their peril, because, you know, there's a great love for animals that has grown up around the world. And it's certainly in the United States, where people treat their pets like family members. This has been going on for a very, very long time. You know, people treat their dogs and cats, and of course there's people that are abusive towards them as well, but the majority of people, you know, we already have wolves living in our homes. They're called dogs.
Exactly.
You know, if your dog was tested right now at a vet genetically, it matches up 99.99% with a wolf, even a poodle. That's how close they are.
The DNA is there.
Absolutely. And for people to love their dogs, but to for any American who's listening to this now, wherever you are in the world, for you to not, if you love your dog, you should be out there fighting for wolves, because we owe the wolf a debt of gratitude for giving us this beautiful animal that so many people cherish. If we knew how similar wolves are in their affection for each other, for their own families, we wouldn't tolerate this. You know, we tolerate it because, quote, they're animals. And, you know, I have a very beautiful quote from Leonardo da Vinci. One of the things I try to do for people that sign my petition, I send out alerts on what people can do. Leonardo da Vinci lived 500 years ago, and he was probably the most brilliant human being that ever lived on the planet that we know of anyway. He said, "Truly, man is the king of beasts, for his brutality exceeds theirs. The time will come when men, such as I, will look on the murder of animals as they now look on the murder of men." Now, he wrote that 500 years ago. And there is a movement of people. It's a very, very large movement. And what Leonardo predicted is very real to us. And I think people know who that is. They can look in the mirror when they hang up from this program, and they realize that they're the people that feel that way.
Wow.
Nobody would tolerate a person coming into their yard and killing their dog. Not only killing it, but torturing it, and then killing it cruelly. But yet the country is allowing, through ignorance and apathy, this to happen to wolves that are equally innocent as the dog in your household. And please, people, you know what the facts are. You can check this. You can look all these statistics up, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Again, realize that there's no cattle problem. There's no wolf problem in cattle country. It's a figment of the cattle people's imagination. It affects very, very few ranchers. They know it, and they rely on your apathy and ignorance to get away with doing this. The killing of wolves is a cultural thing. It has nothing to do with science. It has to do with the diseased part of human beings and not willing to let go of prejudices and hatreds. Even in the face of evidence, they don't massacre cattle. They don't massacre elk. They feed on elk. They make elk healthier by doing that. It's amazing what wolves can do. They can zero in on an elk that's about to die from cancer, that has terrible arthritis that the human eye can't spot, but they spot a subtle weakness in that animal. And those are the animals that they almost always go after, because the average wolf is only about 85 pounds. These are not animals that are 200 pounds. The average is 85 pounds. When they're going after an elk that weighs 1,000 pounds, you know, this kind of huge car weight kind of animal, it's very dangerous for wolves. They only succeed in 10% of the times that they go hunting. They only succeed 10% of the time. So when they bring down an animal and they have to feed their families that way, they can't go to a supermarket. When they bring down an animal, it's almost always an animal that has a physical problem or is old or maybe is weak, and that's how they strengthen their prey species.
That's,
and it's an uncanny ability that God gave them.
We're down to less than a minute, and Kathy, do you want to interject anything in here before we close out this evening?
Well, they also increase biological diversity across the entire ecosystem. That's something humans are not smart enough to do. We do not know how to manage an ecosystem. Hunters talk about game management. Wolves are the supreme game managers out there. We need to let them do their jobs and restore our ecology.
Absolutely.
And we need to protect them.
Robert and
beautiful.
Kathy, it was
Kathy,
a pleasure
beautiful.
Having you guys on. I would love for you guys to come back in a few months, and we will brief our audience again on the strides made for the plight of these creatures. I hope you will join me again sometime soon, and I thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Bless you, Linda.
Thank you. And on that
thank
note,
you, Kathy.
I just want to leave you on a positive note tonight. There's a site called 350.org. It doesn't have too much to do with the wolf, but it's a positive, and it's a sign, as I call it, in the right direction. And it looks like the tide is turning against Keystone XL between the climate change movement that keeps growing, the Idle No More movement that keeps growing, and the people like my guests this evening, Robert Goldman and Kathy Taibbi. There is strength in numbers. This is according to Secretary of State Kerry. Canadian media is beginning to say the pipeline could be rejected due to American
stance
over climate change.
Wow.
So, power to the people. Anyway, that's our show for this evening. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank my listeners. And we will see you again here in 2 weeks on Cosmic Radio. Join those websites. Go to my Facebook page, Cosmic Radio. I have all this information posted on there. And stay safe. We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, everybody. Blessings.